Mr. Rose, reel 8.
And what he had to do was to lower a chap down by his feet, head first, into a bucket. And he took him out 2 or 3 hours, this chap. And they hauled him out while they pulled this bucket out, see, because there's chutes on that wide, see. That chap that was being lowered down, he must have had some nerve too. Well, the rope had broke, I don't know what would happen to him. Anyhow, he was a bit able, this chappy that was lowered down there at first, he eventually was able to shout down, "Are you all right down there?" We could just hear him. And we said, "No, we're trapped." He said, "I thought a so-and-so idiot had done that." Anyhow, it was through him that we got communication.
And then it began to clear.
We could have reported him and, of course, probably done him a lot of harm, but we didn't. He apologised and all that afterwards. I said, "Never in my life." I said, "Well, I got the air left." I said, "It must be white." Oh, I never thought I'd see daylight again. It's right up close, jammed up to the ceiling. And they didn't let the bottom of the bunker go, see, because it vortex, you see, immediately, see. The coal would have gone down like that, we'd have gone down there with it. So it was down to a horrible death. So they never did do that. They knew that much. But anyhow, this chap must have learned his lesson that way, because that's the only time I ever came in contact with him. I didn't want any more. That was quite enough.
Nearly you ran that time.
But other than that, all things more or less were plain sailing.
Yeah. And oil, of course, changed a lot of these problems.
It did, it did. All the worries of Stoker became a gentleman, as the saying is, after that. And but the funny part about it, the first oil ship I went to, I'm appointed a motorboat. So I didn't get the benefit of going down to Stoker. I got appointed to the motorboats, because I'd had motorboat experiences on the Birmingham. And I was appointed to that, so I thought, "Would you believe it? It's the first oil ship I've been to." I said, "No, I'm in motorboats." It wasn't a bad job.
You never really had much experience of oil fuel then?
In the Birmingham mainly, the Birmingham. See, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, no, I didn't. No, only on and off, like reliefs and that.
Yeah. And you got this nice, cushy job, in fact, then, of running the motorboat.
Yes.
How did you get that job again?
Well, when I was on the Birmingham there, I suppose I did know the chap that used to be on the motorboats, and he wanted a mate, and he recommended me. A temporary mate, more or less. I used to get in odd times when we're in Arbor. And he taught me all about it, because in those days, you know, motors were in its infancy. And motorboats were practically new in them. There were very few ships. Most of the ships had steamboats, you see. I'd had steamboat experience. I went through my first ship. I went through steamboats on that, so I was all right on that bit. Because that only more or less was a miniature of being in the warship. But the motors were vastly different. No one knew a lot about motors in those days. First of all, they started off on the Parsons oil engines. Did we get Parsons?
They were troublesome. They were very troublesome, the Parsons oil
engines. Yeah, what did I finish up? Shall I continue on?
Yes.
But this boat that I'm talking about now, they had Thornycroft, four-cylinder Thornycroft motor. And it was powered by paraffin. And the Ventric tube was heated in the onset, before you started up, by a blow lamp, one of the most hazardous things I think I ever met in the Navy. The blow lamp stood on the platform with the neck of the blow lamp going into this Ventric tube, the Venturi tube, I think the term is. And it heated that up so that eventually when you did start up and the paraffin was drawn up by the little pump into the tube, the heat of the tube, which was heated by the blow lamp, became a gas. And they ran, not too efficiently, but fairly efficiently. You get about 8 knots out of this motorboat. That was a Thornycroft. But as I said, they were very hazardous many, many times I've been down there watching this. You don't leave it, watching this blow lamp burning into the tube, and another motorboat come by, or a steamboat or a tug, create a wash sea, and up in the air go the motorboat that you were oblivious of, tied up to the boom alongside of the ship. And the next minute the blow lamp had overturned, and of course invariably the bilges had paraffin in, and that would have been your lot. But fortunately that I always got to the stage where I held on to the blow lamp. Pardon me. Well, and then they brought in, well, at least we had that fitted, and petrol. And they used what they called a war spirit. Number 3 grade petrol. I suppose number 3 grade in those days, and they would be number 1 in these days. Quite good petrol, too. We carried a 2-gallon tank down in the engine room. Well, it was an old petrol tank, as a matter of fact, rigged up by one of the artists with a copper tube, ran away to this Venturi tube. Well, what you did, you turned the tap on the tank, little 2-gallon tank, flooded your carburetor with petrol, switched off. And you started, of course you started by hand, there's no such thing as a self-starter in those days. You started with this huge crankshaft there, swung round 3 or 4 times. That was a noble job, especially when the ship was rolling, the boat was rolling a bit. And started up with petrol. But you had to be quick, because the amount of petrol held into the carburetor wasn't very much there before you got the opportunity, which was the other side of the boat, only a small boat, I suppose, about 6 or 8 feet across, to switch over to paraffin. Otherwise, you lost it. You had to switch off the paraffin while you did this petrol organisation. Once a motor started up on petrol, you switched over straight away to paraffin. And you were all right. Once the motor was underway there, it was, well, fairly plain sailing. You couldn't be sure that you were going to finish the journey. These were the motors in the early stages. Well, when I went to the ship that I named just now, that I was nominated motorboats, the oil fuel ship, we had a complete petrol motor. Now this little motorboat, pretty little thing it was given to Admiral Tyrwhitt by the people of Folkestone and Dover Court in recognition for the services of the patrol that used to patrol the channel between France and during the war. Now this little boat was presented to her. There was a brass plaque inside stating this. That's how I knew it. And she could get up to about 15, 16 knots, all out. A little Wolseley engine it was, complete petrol, ran on number 3 war spirit, which we call war spirit. I think we called anything war spirit in those days, but war spirit was the term that we used, and I said, well, you're still using it. And she had a clutch, and she worked by a lever. You held the clutch with the left hand, the throttle on the right. You had advance and retard lever for the magneto. So you set that at, once you started up, set that at advance, opened out your throttle, let the clutch in forward, that was forward speed, see? To go in reverse, you push the lever right back. Stopped, of course, and then went back. In the centre was neutral. And it worked so simple and easy that the least touch would engage the clutch, at least going by, even touching it with a jacket or arms, he would knock it in if the engine was running, of course. Well, the chappie that I relieved, he was down in there doing something to the engine or something, no one knows what. He leaned over. The engine was running fairly fast for unusual purposes. And he leaned over and he knocked the speed lever into ahead. Well, the motorboat is tied up to the boom, as you know, by a length of rope. All boats are tied up to the boom, just anchored to it. The motorboat decided that it got its freedom at last. It leapt into the air, doing about 12 or 14 knots there, tore away till it got to the end of the rope that tethered it, turned around and charged the boom. Unfortunately or fortunately, the boom was only about 4 feet from the water's edge, just enough to catch the canopy, which was a beautiful canopy, all beveled glass there and oak and all lined inside, beautiful, lovely. Well, it was presentation one, as I said. It just came level with the boom, this lot. And crash, away went the whole lot. What happened inside and down the motorboat, I'll never know. I don't think it's ever knew either. The next thing, everyone came running when they heard this crash. The engineer came tearing up there. And presently the white face of this chap appeared out of the wreckage. And he couldn't tell the engineer whether he was lost for speech or not. He couldn't tell him that what had happened. As a matter of fact, I don't think he really, he said to me, I don't know really what happened. He said, I leaned over and the next thing, he said, I've been slung about. He said, the earthquake had suddenly struck us. So the engineer, I suppose he must have looked through the papers and foresaw I'd been on motorboats, sent for me, said, motorboats, you didn't ask you whether you'd like to go or not. There's no such thing as that. You and you. Motorboat, I said, well, we had two ships motorboat, where Paddy officer used to use small ships motorboat and the Admiral's motorboat. Pardon. He said, motorboats use. I said, which one, sir? Which one, he said. I can hear him saying it now. Go and have a look over the side at that adjective motorboat laid down. That's the one you're taking over, he said. We're going to get it inboard. See if we can do something with the cabin or build a temporary one. So I was appointed forthwith to this little motorboat. A pretty little thing it was. And they built a temporary cabin, the carpenters of the ship, the carpenters and shipwrights of the ship. You know they're tradesmen on their own right. They made a wonderful job of it, mainly using the things that were left.
And for yourself, becoming lifeboat, motorboat engineer, motorboat mechanic was a good number, in fact.
Was a good number, very good. It was a clean job and everything. See, the only thing is you took your life in your hands every time you walked down over the boom. The boom sticks out of the ship, about 20 feet from the ship's side. And to get onto the boom, you come down a little few ladders, rung ladders on the side of the ship onto the boom, and on the boom is held by a wire at 45 degrees from the ship, and from the centre of that wire to the ship is just a rope run across here. And why, for some unknown reason, I never know, but they've always been slack, these ropes, and you're walking the tight rope on the boom. See, the boom is normally about 4 or 6 inches wide. To, as you know, they're big wooden. No. Well, when you let go of the ship's side and take this precarious walk of about 10 or 12 feet across to the ladder that goes down, the rope ladder that goes down to the motorboat to which he's moored to, the invariably sways about 45 degrees either side. If you're carrying anything, it's the most precarious thing on earth. You carry a gallon or 2 gallon drum of oil down there for the motor engine, About once a week we used to change the oil. And you've got to carry it down over this boom. And well, they used to say, until you can do that, you're not a motorboatman.
And putting